Good morning, folks. My name is Martin Shields. I'm a certified financial planner and wealth manager at Boucher Financial Group, and I'm going to be your host today for Let's Talk Money. It's great to be here with all of our weekly listeners, and to any new listeners, it's great to have you here to answer any questions you may have regarding your financial planning or investment management concerns. And I encourage you to call in with those questions. You can reach me at 1-800-TALK-WGY. That's 800-825-5949. Again, 800-825-5949. I hope you're doing well on this rather rainy summer morning. I tell you, it's certainly been the case. We've had plenty of rain this summer. If you contrast it with last summer, I recall distinctly, certainly because of COVID and having to spend a lot of time at the house, what a gorgeous summer last summer was. So, that's just what happens in upstate New York. Sometimes you get gorgeous summers like last summer, and sometimes you get some rainy ones. But without a doubt, you have to appreciate the fact that if all we have to deal with is a little extra rain versus poor folks down in Louisiana with a hurricane bearing down on them and fires out west, and look around the world, we live in a good spot here, folks. If you don't realize that, you just need to move someplace and spend some time some other places and realize that we, it's not all perfect, but it's a good spot, and I'm always appreciative of what we have here and how fortunate we are. But we're not here to talk about the weather, are we? We're here to talk about your financial situation and whatever questions you may have. We've got a lot to discuss. Certainly going to be celebrating the market hitting all-time highs again this week. That's always good news. It's music to our ears and our clients' ears. And so talk about the markets and talk about some financial planning things you can implement in your own personal situation. And you can reach me at 800-825-5949. So one of the things I want to highlight is this month of September coming up, which starts this week, for our firm, is we're calling it Cybersecurity Month. And really what we're going to do is just focus on talking about cybersecurity, both what we do as a firm to protect our clients, which is a lot of work. That's something we're so vigilant with. What our financial custodian, Charles Schwab, does to protect our clients, and they really are one of the best in that regard. I always say, if you had one issue with Schwab, it's just that they're very conservative, and that usually 99% of the time works in favor of our clients. Sometimes it can be a little frustrating, but we're willing to accept it because they really do an amazing job of protecting our clients' assets and our client data. And you don't need to be reading the headlines that much to know that that's a problem out there with data getting accessed by folks, and especially from large corporations, but even small companies like ourselves that happens to. So we're constantly going through training with our employees to talk about ways to protect our clients' assets, making sure that absolutely we know if money's going out that it's our client who's asking for those dollars. And trust me, there's phishing scams and email scams. It is out there all around. So, if you have an opportunity, we're going to be having a webinar. We're going to be putting out different blogs. We'll be sending some emails specifically just to our clients. But, if you want to go on to our website at boucher.com and look at the blogs that we write on these topics, and also we'll be having a webinar. You just let our firm know that you want to be part of that webinar, and we'll be talking about things that you can do to protect yourself, because that's the other element. I talked about what we do to protect our clients and what Schwab does, but there's a lot of things you could do to protect yourself, and without a doubt, it's out there. I was just reading something in AARP. And yes, I'm over 50 now, so I think I could be a member, but one of my colleagues gets me the AARP magazine, and it's actually pretty good. There's some interesting articles in there. But one of them was about a call center in India, and that call center it was there purely, it was all set up, all professional, to scam people, probably mostly in the U.S., out of dollars. And what they do is that there's a whole number of different approaches they take. But really kind of putting fear into people that, something's happened either with their Amazon account or their bank account. And, once they get you on your computer And they're good. I'm telling you, these are pros, right? This is not some Joe Schmo sitting in his living room. These are pros. And once they get you on your computer, you know, their goal is to get access to your accounts and, you know, get you buying money cards and sending it out to them. And it works. It's, you know, you may think that you're not going to be, you know, impacted or that's going to fool you, but you'd be surprised in the moment what happens. I talk about a time where I got a call from National Grid and talking about a bill that was unpaid, and we do automatic bill pay for most of our bills. And I was like, this doesn't sound right, but this person had a lot of my personal information, at least my address and whatnot. And so I had to call, you know, once I got in the office, I called National Grid and confirm that it was not National Grid. And they said that they were getting a lot of calls from their client, their customers, that this was happening. And, you know, thankfully, you know, kind of I'm aware of this stuff that's going on. And, but it was, yeah, I'm telling you, it was professional. This person sounded like they were in a call center and that this was their job. And, you know, you cannot be too secure with that. You know, really, one of the main areas that people get hacked is through their email. And that's what we see it with, you know, sometimes with a client of ours, they get their email hacked. And, you know, these people can get on your email and start communicating with whatever financial custodian you have and acting like they are you. It looks just like it's coming from your email address, and it can happen. They'll use old emails, and, you know, you've got to realize that it can happen. So one of the big things that you got to be aware of is not clicking on anything. If you don't know that email, you know, there's going to be really never responding to an email from a big financial corporation that you may deal with, because, you know, always calling on the 1-800 number that you pull up that's on their statement. If they're calling you asking for information, there's a 99% chance that that is not that company, right? It is very rare, if ever, that a large financial institution or any company is going to be calling you, asking, confirming your information. Really, what they want to do is to get your information. So that's the big things is, you know, if somebody's calling you and it's from a large corporation, chances are that's not that large corporation. And if you see an email that you don't know, it could look like even, you know, it might be an email, you know, but you got to look at the email address. Do not click on any links or documents, because that's the way they get into your computer. So just some of the smart things like that. But when in doubt, I always say this, when in doubt, just hang up and don't respond. You know, there's really going to be never a situation where that's going to be a problem. And, you know, we always say with our clients, if we ever have any doubts, if somebody's asking for money, until we confirm verbally and with a set of data, we are not sending out the money. And we always tell our colleagues, if we lose a client because they're not happy with that, then that's just going to have to be where it is. It is just too important to us. So again, with just kind of bringing this up, that we'll have a number of blogs on cybersecurity. And again, if the webinar, if you're not a client of ours, you want to listen to it, you know, call into the office. We can get you access. But just something that really kind of highlight for you and to be aware of yourself. Well, folks, again, if you have any questions, give me a call. We're going to go to commercial break, but you're listening to Let's Talk Money on News Radio WGY, 103.1 FM and 810 AM. Welcome back, folks. For those of you just joining us, my name is Martin Shields, and I'm your host today for Let's Talk Money, giving my colleague Stephen Boucher a well-deserved break. And it's great to be here to answer any questions you may have regarding your financial planning or investment management with your own personal situation. And I encourage you to call me with those questions. You can reach me at 800 TALK WGY. That's 800 825-5949. Again, it's 800 825-5949. So let's see here. A couple of things I want to talk about. We talk a lot about investment management with our clients, but a lot of what we do with our clients is financial planning. We're our client's personal CFO. And all that means is we're a fiduciary for our clients. So whatever topic they have, if it's finance related, and sometimes, you know, a lot of our discussions, you know, to be honest with you, It's a little bit like counseling, right? I mean, we talk, about taxes and the state laws and, all the complexity that exists out there from a financial perspective. But sometimes the most challenging things with individuals is the psychological elements that exist from a financial perspective. And, when people talk to me about whether I like my job or whatever, I tell them I love my job, because it has really all the components that are good skill sets of mine. I'm a reasonably good listener. My wife might beg to differ, but I always say I have 18 years of marriage school, and I'm a good student, so I'm learning to be a good listener. And I love the analytical work that we do with our clients. But I also like the counseling work, and that really is providing guidance to our clients about things that we see all the time. I mean, whether it's selling a business, whether it's buying a home, whether it's retiring, whether it's switching careers, right? And all of those things I just described right there, each one of those has a psychological component to it. Absolutely. I mean, if you're going through a career change, if you're negotiating on a new job opportunity, each one of those has a psychological element to it. So although we are providing guidance on the quantitative piece of it, like what is it, does this work well from a financial perspective, from a numbers perspective, we're also providing a lot of guidance on the psychological piece. And one of the pieces I love about our job is when people are retiring, and if they've done a great job of getting themselves in a good financial position, and I would say that is the largest majority, it's 95 plus percent of our clients that are in that spot. It's great to sit down with them and talk about, well, hey, what does this retirement look like, right? What are you going to be doing in your late 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s, right? And how does that look? What are the things that you've been talking about doing for much of your life, but now you get out there and do it? But I will tell you that, again, this is the great part, which is part of it's talking about them how they need to spend more money. And we just met with a set of clients this week, and just great folks, just in every way, just great folks. But they just do not know how to spend money. And talking about one of the things that we're just talking about doing is nothing fancy. Maybe buying a second home, maybe buying an RV, all those things, but just outsourcing things around the house, right? And just that concept, right? They have always just done all their own yard work and painting and all these things. I said to him, I said, one of the things that you could do that just kind of frees up your life and causes less stress is that you start outsourcing, right? Things that you're like, you know what, I do this, but I really don't like doing this. You know what? Think about maybe you outsource it, right? You find somebody that you appreciate, whether that's you can find it from a neighbor or a colleague or whatever, and you have them do that chore, that job. And one of the things that was they were discussing with them, it was painting, and they were up high painting. And I said, that's dangerous. If you fall, like that's a real problem. So first and foremost, my suggestion is to outsource those things that either A are very complicated, and if it goes wrong, it can be a real problem. There's that concept of, saving pennies but dropping dollars, right? You want to make sure that you're not penny pinching, and what could down the road could cost you major dollars. And that can happen whether you're trying to do electrical work or plumbing or you name it. You try to save a few pennies here and there, and a mistake happens and you're costing real dollars, and things that you could get hurt doing, right? Those things could be should be really outsourced. And that's where, as you start assessing that, especially even, it doesn't have to be in retirement. It could be getting close to retirement if you're in a good spot, right? And that's where we talk, with our clients, which is sometimes just as you start having a better financial picture, our guidance to some of our clients is, you know what, stop saving. You don't need to save anymore for retirement. You got plenty of money. Yeah, you're not going to retire for 5 or 10 years, but you got plenty of dollars. Start spending those dollars. Don't save anymore. You might want to save to get your retirement match from your company. Yeah, that makes sense, right? Those are free dollars. You don't want to give that up. But in a lot of other ways, maybe you don't need to or should be saving anymore, and you can spend that money. And even if it's simply, something like, out spending that money on outsourcing stuff, that makes your life easier, right? And you think about it, like for many people, you're like, well, you know what? If I don't, let's say, have to clean the house, if I don't have to do the yard work, if I don't do all these, you know what? I might be willing to work for a little bit longer, right? Because my weekends are not taken up by doing that stuff. I can enjoy my weekends. And because of that, I can actually work longer, right? You start looking at things from that perspective, and start changing, how you might view actually retiring versus working or working part-time even. So again, I just think from my perspective, as we're talking with our clients, those discussions can be as important as the discussions of what do the actual numbers look like. So really interesting stuff. Folks, if you have any questions, give me a call. You can reach me at 800-825-5949. Again, that's 800-825-5949. This year, 2021, I'm going to call this the year of transition. I've been in this business for 15 years, and before that, I was 10 years in corporate finance. And in the 15 years I've been in this business, I have never seen so many clients deciding to make a transition in their life. And I mean, it is everything from retiring maybe a little early than they might have anticipated. It's everything from selling a business they had taken many years to build and weren't necessarily thinking about selling that business. But, one thing or another, with COVID and different things that happened, they've decided that maybe now it's time. Also, with the potential of taxes increasing, especially on people with income over $1 million. And if you're selling a business, that may very well be you. You're trying to get that sale in before the end of the year. People buying or selling houses, second homes or their existing home, just a tremendous amount of people who have decided, you know what, this is a time to make a change. Also, career changes. A lot of folks, reassessing what their career is. You think you go through something like COVID, you really start to say to yourself, am I living the life I want to live? Right? Am I spending every minute that I can be on doing something I want to do? And do I really want to do that job? But where, yeah, maybe the money's good, but boy, I don't like it. Again, I think I'm fortunate. I love my job. I love doing what we do. I love the team members I work for. That makes my working easy. When you love what you do, it's easy. But I know a lot of folks, both personally and also just with working with them, where they don't love their job by any means, right? In fact, they may hate their job. And at some point, the money just doesn't cut it, right? When you do something that you just don't like or love that much, day in, day out, at some point you're like, okay, I got to change. And we're seeing that people taking career changes and, many times they're taking a pay cut, but you think about that, especially if you can be working for a number of years. And if you're having that job where, you're making a lot of money, but you can be saving a decent amount of that, right? Putting yourself in a good position financially. And then, maybe when you're in your mid-50s, you don't retire, but maybe in your mid-50s, you do take that job. It's a maybe a nonprofit job, or it's some job that where you're like, I'm just not going to make as much money. But that is, it's fine, right? Life is not. Here's a finance guy. I tell you this: life is not all about money. As a matter of fact, we were talking. We're doing some work for on our website and everything, and talking with a great marketing firm. It's actually here in Saratoga. They're called Lyft. It's just a great firm, and we're just starting to work with them. But you're talking about our tagline, which is health, wealth for life. And we talk about that with the clients. Health comes first. It comes before the money does, because if you don't take care of your health, that money does not matter. And we talk about it. We see it all the time. People say they're going to do something down the road, and something happens from a health perspective, and that picture changes. So, and that's the thing with, you have to remember too, with work, as you get older, that stress that you were fine with when you're 25 or 35 or 45, at some point, both from a cumulative perspective, but also just as you get older, your body is just not designed to handle that stress. And that's, we see folks with heart attacks and different things that are brought on by stress. It's something to remember, right? Which says, hey, you know what? If you go ahead and you decide to kind of not work that job making those big dollars, that may be one of the best decisions you ever make, right? That could actually work to your benefit to let you live longer. And yes, maybe have to drive a simpler car, or maybe even downsize a house or something like that. Any of those things may happen. But, is it worth it to make sure that you're in good health? I mean, I would say it is. I think most people would say it is. So, definitely, The one thing I would tell you is if you're doing a big change like that, just I tell you, this is why I see the value of our firm and our relationship with the clients is talking with somebody that is, boy, I would say a fiduciary or somebody that doesn't, family members can be tough, right? Because they have a different perspective and there's a lot of emotion sometimes tied up with that. But somebody that could give you guidance, and that's the way we work with our clients, where there's no strings attached, right? We just tell our clients based on our knowledge, our expertise of dealing with this all the time, who are the experts they need to deal with if they're selling a business or if they're doing a career change, if they're selling a house or they're buying a house, and then what are the things they need to be considering, both from a numbers perspective and then from a kind of a psychological perspective. Because that you do want to have a sounding board, and that's what we tell with our clients. That's who we are. We may not be the experts in all the areas, and we'll get those experts involved. But even when they're working with those experts, they may want guidance as to how they go about making these decisions, because they're still going to have, even when you're working with an expert, you still have some decisions to be made. And sometimes they just have a conversation with us about how do they approach those decisions and working with that expert. And I would encourage you, if you're going through these times, this kind of changes, transitions in your own life, that you have that discussion with somebody that is, again, a fiduciary advisor would be ideal. But if not, at least somebody that you really have up in a high regard, and that really kind of is good from a financial perspective, but a lot of common sense. And that you think that if you are asking for their opinion, they're going to kind of give it to you straight and not sugarcoat it, or where there's not a kind of a personal, or even sometimes friends can sometimes be challenging, right? You think that they're completely unbiased, and sometimes they are and they're not, or sometimes they don't have the knowledge base to be able to give you real guidance. And that's why I always strongly encourage younger folks to have a mentor, right? Or a number of mentors that they can turn to, especially when it comes to career changes. I was just talking to a young gentleman who was taking a new job out in Utica, leaving GlobalFoundries and going to another corporation. And just to be able to talk to him about it. And he had a couple mentors that he reached out to, and they gave him guidance as to, hey, was this a good decision or not? And I think that is so important, right? That you have somebody that, especially when it comes to career changes or something you're doing, that you have a mentor to give you some guidance as to, how you want to approach something and, what you need to be aware of. That's very important as you kind of think through those things and make those decisions. Well, folks, we're going to go to commercial break, but come back and join us as we continue the discussions. We take your questions. You're listening to Let's Talk Money on News Radio WGY, 103.1 FM and 810 AM. Good morning, folks. For those of you just joining us, my name is Martin Shields, and I'm your host today for Let's Talk Money. I'm sitting in for my colleague, Steve Mouchet, and it's great to be here with you to take any questions you may have regarding your financial planning or investment management concerns. And you can reach me with those questions at 800-TALK-WGY. That's 800-825-5949. Again, 800-825-5949. I hope that you are enjoying yourself on this kind of cloudy morning. I think it's actually going to be a decent day, so hopefully you're going to be getting out there to enjoy it on this. Boy, we only got one more week of real summer left. Then we're in Labor Day, and then we're into September and everything like that. So I hope that you're out enjoying it and doing something fun. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have Dave from Albany. Dave, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
Very good, very good. Hey, I have a question on you. Yeah, I have looking into different stocks and with a dividend portfolio, but what about these companies that really pay a high dividend, 20%? You look at all these other companies that blue chip stocks, 3%, 4%. How can they pay a 20% dividend?
That is a great question, right? So, without looking at each one, it's difficult to say exactly. But what I'm going to tell you is, this is the clear, simple rule for investing. I don't care whatever business you're in. This is the rule of investing, is if there's a high return, there's high risk. That is plain and simple. And until you look under the chassis with them, I couldn't tell you exactly. But what I could probably tell you is there's a lot of leverage going on there, right? There's a lot of leverage going on there. The other thing that's probably going on, that could be going on, is they could be in short-term or even long-term financial crisis, right? So you think about it. Let's say a company stock's worth $100, and they've got a dividend that is a dividend of let's say, like 5% or 2%, whatever. And then the company stock drops to $20. Well, if they're going to pay out the same dividend, now that dividend has just quintupled. It's just gone up fivefold, right? Because that dividend as a yield, as you're looking at it, is a percentage of the stock price. So when a company stock tumbles, that dividend looks a lot more attractive, right? Because it's now as a percentage of a much smaller number. But here's the thing to remember, and we saw this with GE and all these companies. When a company's stock tumbles, that's usually because they are having an issue, and that issue quite often is cash flow. Well, my guess is they're going to cut the dividend and or stop the dividend completely. So, you have to be looking at that. How are they providing that dividend? And so it's either one of two things. Either it's just it looks so attractive because they're in a bad financial situation and their stock price is taking a hit. And with that, they're probably not going to be able to sustain that dividend. Or they're probably using leverage. And hey, leverage is good when everything works out, right? So, that they might be able to sustain it for a while is good. But you have to remember that if that industry, if the economy or that company is put under stress, they may not be able to do that. So not only is your dividend maybe going away, but that company's stock price could drop. So that's what you got to be aware of. And that's what we talk about, with our clients. If we're talking about dividends, what we're looking for are companies that are just great companies that not only have a reasonable dividend, but consistently grow that dividend over time, right? And that's the really, if you're looking for a dividend strategy, that's the ideal strategy is that. Now, the only caveat to say to that is, if you're buying either a mutual fund and or an ETF that has, let's say, 100 companies that are skewed more towards, it's a little different because, one of those companies may fail, but the other 99 are going to be okay, right? And that's, again, that's the thing we always remember when you're buying individual company stock or individual bonds is you have capital risk. Right. I mean, that could go to zero. So whereas when you're buying, a fund, it can go down quite a bit. And depending on what that fund is and that manager is, you got to be aware of it or that sector. But chances are it's not, you don't have capital risk to the extent that it's going to go to zero.
Okay, good. Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, you got it. Take care, Dave. We're going to keep with the phone lines. We have Justin from Rotterdam. Justin, you there?
Hey, bud, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. So
I
got a quick one. I'll make it easy for you today. I usually call Steven on the weekly and just chat about, cryptocurrencies and things like that. This week, I got a question and see where your head is at in terms of silver and precious metals right now. I'm currently involved in a cryptocurrency that's supposed to be eventually tethered to the price of silver per coin. Long story short, I can actually purchase fine silver with the cryptocurrency. So I'm curious your thoughts on the booming or the soon to be or projected boom of silver and or gold.
Sure. No, good question. So I'm going to give you and it's interesting because we talk with Steven, even though we work with the same firm and everything, we all have the same belief. We could have different views on this a little bit, especially when it comes to, some of these things that are not kind of the major part of our portfolio. We do have a little bit of precious metals in a commodity fund in some of our portfolios. But, the thing to the view, whether it be cryptocurrency and or gold, it's a diversifying asset class. With cryptocurrency, obviously a lot more volatility, much more speculative. And so with that, much more downside risk, but upside opportunity as well. Whereas gold or silver, what you're really doing is you're kind of hedging, both on from a macro perspective, a global perspective, that something kind of crazy happens, and in those situations, people tend to go to precious metals. You also, from a inflation perspective, historically, it's been known that gold can be used for that. So that's what you're going to be looking to do, is put that in a portfolio to hedge against them. Now, what I'm going to tell you, Justin, is you really have to be careful with any of these because, let's say if you look at gold from a historical perspective, it's done well, but it has definitely underperformed the S&P 500 with a lot more risk. And what I mean by risk is volatility, right? So, and silver is the same way, right? So what I would tell you is, from a hedging perspective, if you're concerned about inflation and you want to use something that historically done well, gold or silver or gold, precious metals, can be a good part of a portfolio. Same thing if you're concerned about kind of global macro concerns. I always say we live in a world of global risk, that those can do well to hedge against that risk. But, really caution you from putting too much in a portfolio. So how much would I say? 5%, something along those lines. And, because just as I'm telling you, this is what they can be used for. I mean, look at even year to date, inflation's really spiked and gold has not done well, right? So it's not a given that, that how these asset classes have historically worked, that they're going to still play that same role, right? So just, with anything like this, diversification is important. And, putting it in just in part of the portfolio is probably a good idea.
Absolutely. That's usually what I do anyway. That's kind of I play around, that 5%, just kind of something to have a little bit more invested in there. I like the fact that it's tethered to cryptocurrency. So not only is there the ability to buy fine silver, but there's also the whole cryptocurrency market behind it. So I thought that was kind of cool about this one in particular. It's a rather newer coin. But I was, like I said, I was curious about your opinion on silver and pretty much what I thought, about 5%, and kind of keep it as a little more diversification stuff.
Yeah, let's face it. I mean, whether it be crypto, and I don't know how old you are, but if taking 5% of your portfolio, especially if you're a little bit younger on the younger side and you want to take a little more risk.
37.
Okay, so you're pretty young. So, you want to take 5%, but what I always would tell people is, if you're successful, let's say you get something and you get a home run with it, well, always keep that to 5%, right? Or somewhere in that neighborhood, right? So let's say it becomes 20% of your portfolio. Well, grab that, that extra 15%, now diversify it into your overall investments. And always make sure your speculative part of your portfolio never goes above 5%.
I guess let me slide one more quick question in there for you. What do you think about taking profits, when and how often?
Well, so great question.
Think of that in terms of what you just said.
Yeah, great question. So it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of variables in that, right? Are you taking profits in a tax deferred account or a taxable account? If it's in a taxable account, what's your tax situation? Are you in a low tax year or high tax year? I think the big thing with that is, let's say if it's a particular stock, again, we like to keep a single stock allocation to definitely under 10 and preferably under 5% of your overall portfolio allocation. So trying to manage that, if it's a company like Apple or whatever, it gets a little bit bigger, okay. But, the bigger it gets, the more of a risk that it could underperform. It's going to impact you. So kind of, looking at it along those lines, I think, year to date, the market keeps hitting all-time highs. If you want to take some gains and either, diversify out of it, given how well the market's done over the last 2 years, or even we talked about, we use in our client portfolios, hedged equity, which are ETFs that kind of hedge on the downside, but are going to cap out on the upside, right? So, not a bad time to maybe, if you're way overweight on your equity target, to take a little bit of that money to do that.
Cool. Right on, man. Appreciate the help.
You got it. You take care, Justin. Enjoy your Sunday. So, great questions from Justin. It seems like a smart young guy that's doing all the right stuff. I think the big thing with that is just trying to make sure that, this is one of the worst things that can happen, and we see this, is that for an investor or certainly a young investor or a new investor to do too well too quickly, because then they start thinking that the game's real easy, they just kind of load up with risk. And, any veteran investor will tell you that it may be easy for a period of time, but then that there's going to be a point where the market gets challenging, and that's where if you got yourself over leveraged or over risked into risky assets, it's going to come back and bite you at some point. So you got to always try to manage that risk and not to get ahead of yourself too much. We're going to go to a commercial break, but come back and join us as we take your questions. You're listening to Let's Talk Money on News Radio WGY, 103.1 FM and 810 AM. Welcome back, folks. My name is Martin Shields, and I'm your host today for Let's Talk Money, sitting in for my colleague, Stephen Boucher. And it's great to be here to answer any questions you may have regarding your financial planning or investment management concerns. And you can reach me at 800-TALK-WGY. That's 800-825-5949. Again, 800-825-5949. So before we get back into talking about the markets and financial planning, just wanted to highlight, we've talked about this before, I think, that our firm, on every Friday, we have a meditation session. A great gentleman by the name of David Kay has been working with our firm over the last year and a half. And, it is interesting. I think if you'd said to me a few years ago about meditation, I mean, like, I would kind of roll my eyes and say that's probably not for me. But as I've gotten older and you kind of get a little bit more thoughtful and kind of taking perspective both on life and how you handle situations and kind of just your overall mindset, I've embraced meditation. And it is really amazing if you are just whatever situation you're in, especially a high stress situation, if you're able to take a deep breath, and maybe how about two or three deep breaths, and kind of be focused on those deep breaths and kind of being in the moment. And David also talks about just different things that we should be aware of from a personal perspective, a little bit like a guru, right? Mindset guru, just no different than we do with our clients, but talking about from a financial perspective. With David, we're kind of talking about from a mental perspective. And I just put it out there that if you have an opportunity to, whether it be on Headspace, which is an app that you can utilize for meditation, or if you have a situation where you can utilize somebody like David Kay to be able to do that, and how important that is to with our firm and for me in particular. And our job is, again, I love it, but it's it can be stressful, obviously, managing people's assets and that responsibility. And we always say to our clients, we don't take that lightly. That trust that our clients put in us, that is, we're responsible for making sure that they make the right decisions to that money grows for them, so then they hit retirement. We call it financial independence, and they can go ahead and do what they want with their life. We say we take it off our client's plate and put it on ours. That's a lot of stress, and you got to be able to manage that stress, and be able to handle those situations where complex decisions and complex conversations. To me, being able to meditate and provide some deep breaths, and it's even if you just, again, you got a decision you're making, you got a conversation you're going to make, trying to do a little meditation, just a few deep breaths, focusing on those breaths. And I'm also amazed too, which is, even when I do that, there's still times where your actions, you're like, what just happened there? Like, why did I overreact to that, right? You just I always say that emotional intelligence is probably more important than just your IQ, right? Your emotional ability to, or ability to handle and respond to things from an emotional calmness can be as important, if not more important, than what your intelligence is. And boy, I see that all the time with colleagues and also with clients and whatever, can't be stressed enough. But let's go on and talk about finances, right? That's why you're listening here. And again, I call, if you have any questions, give me a call. We can chat. You can reach me at 800-825-5949. One of the things I want to talk about is dollar cost averaging, DCA. And really all dollar cost averaging is if you have money and you want to get it to work, put it in the market, that you put it in over time. Your dollar cost average, meaning that you're basically gonna be buying into the market over multiple time periods. And when you think about that, we use the acronym DCA, dollar cost averaging. When you think about a DCA strategy, you know, 401ks are a perfect example of a DCA strategy, right? That money is just constantly going in to the markets. And, you know, it's a great way to get cash invested over time. And that systematic nature of it is amazing because, you know, we as humans think we can outsmart the market and everything. And, you know, most of the time you can't. And by, you know, dollar cost averaging, you're just constantly putting that money in. And what we always tell, we manage a number of 401k plans. What we always tell participants when we meet with them is, hey, listen, the thing to know about investing in a 401k plan is you want to be as aggressive as you can. And that what that means is in most 401k plans, you know, investing as, you know, at least 80% or more into stocks. And those stocks, again, it's not capital risk, meaning you're not going to lose money. You got market risk, meaning you got fluctuations in the market because you're buying into mutual funds that have many positions. And, you know, the thing to remember is when that market's down like it was last March and you look at your statement and you're so disappointed because, you know, your portfolio has been doing so well and now it's down. Well, guess what? That actually is the ideal time to become more aggressive in what your allocation is, whether it's those new dollars that you're putting in or rebalancing to more aggressive allocation. Because this is, for most people in a 401k, they get a long time horizon, right? You got, you know, a few of the people that are going to be retiring in a more recent time frame, and you might want to have a little bit of a different strategy. But for most people, you're talking about 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road. And so being as aggressive as you can, and especially
folks, how you doing, folks? It's Martin Shields. We had a technology glitch, but thanks to Zach, our producer, this guy is a rock star in many ways. He rectified it, so that's why you had the music pop up there. But I was talking about dollar cost averaging, so we'll continue our discussion. So let's say you have cash that you've been sitting on or accumulating, or it's, you know, something where the sale of a business or something. And, you know, you want to get those dollars invested. So what I will tell you is, from a statistical perspective, all right, if I'm looking at it from a statistical perspective, there's been a lot of studies done on this. The best way to get those dollars invested is all at once. Just go ahead and put it into the market. Chances are you're going to get a better return with that than you would if you dollar cost average, right? Okay, that's just, we talked about the statistics. But what I'll tell you is a couple things. One is, for many people, if they have a large amount of cash, to put it into the markets and then to see the markets take a correction and have a dive, that is challenging. And I've seen it where they put it all in, the market takes a dive, and then they pull it out, right? And that's not what you want to do. You don't want to buy high and sell low. That's the number one rule of investing. So, you know, the thing to remember, we talked about this, you know, you can talk about the best way to approach something from a data perspective, but there's a psychological element of this too. And, you know, for many people, dollar cost averaging is a great way to get money into the market that they might struggle with otherwise. The other thing to remember, too, is that question depends a little bit on where the markets are, right? So let's say you're talking about last March. Well, absolutely, you know, when the market's down 35%, you want to go all at once. That's a no-brainer, right? But hey, we're 2 years into the market doing really well. We're 12 years into the long bull market where valuations are a little rich. You know, although we think that this market and the economy are a good spot, you know, absolutely. September and October can historically be some of the most volatile months. Could we have a pullback? Sure, that's part of investing. We haven't had a 5% correction in the longest time frame versus go back to 2016 and 2018. So, you know, it is one of those things where you've got to look at it and say, hey, where do we stand right now? And, you know, it might not be a bad idea if you got cash to get it invested. We always say that. It's you've got a long-term time horizon. Go ahead and get that money invested. But it may not be a bad idea now with the market all-time highs to dollar cost average. And you know what? That market could keep chugging higher. I mean, it's been chugging higher all week long. So it might keep going higher, and it may not be the right decision. But again, with markets at all-time highs, valuations a little richer, it's not a bad time if you got cash to go ahead and maybe think about going ahead and dollar cost averaging. That may not be a bad idea. Well, folks, I've spent an hour with you. It's been great to be here with you, as always. I hope that you enjoyed our conversation and that hopefully maybe gave you some guidance that you can utilize in your own personal situation. Come back next week when Steve will be on. You'll listen to Let's Talk Money on News Radio WGY, 103.1 FM, 810 AM. And folks, remember, take care of yourselves and your loved ones.